Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And once again, it is my privilege and my pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience as we reason together and study together the Word of God. But as always, let us begin with the word of prayer. Father God, we just come today and thank you, Master, for all that you do in our lives, how you maintain us, how you lead, guide, and direct our pathways. We pray now, Father, for a deeper and a greater understanding of your word, that we might be more conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for you tuning back in again, and we're in the book of Acts, and we're doing a study of the book of Acts, and we've been going kind of verse by verse, and we're in chapter 2, and I believe last time together on this program, we left off on about verse 32. So those of you who are joining in and able to open your Bibles, please join me in the second chapter of Acts, picking up and beginning at verse 32. Let me read these texts for you, and then we'll begin our study. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's hold up right there. Now, we need to take a look closely at this text, because this text is the text that has caused a lot of controversy. And what I'm saying is that many times we believe that people have to be baptized in order to be saved. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let's go back and look at this 32nd verse and move forward when we get to that point of controversy. And hopefully and prayerfully we can conclude together what it is that God really wants us to know about the scripture text. Amen? Amen. It says, this Jesus who God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, I need to point out that I'll be using my notes coming from the Faith Bible Institute, Pastor John Yates, and Dr. Harley Howard on his commentary on Acts. We find that there are eyewitnesses. Peter is saying that we were the eyewitnesses, and this is proof of his ascension and the sending of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had ascended and was received into the exalted position on the right hand of God, and then sent the Holy Spirit as ye have witnessed. And that's what Peter is telling them. And he says, then where was this Jesus of Nazareth now? He arose from the dead only a few weeks before. Where is he now? Peter answers this question. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, David is not yet ascended into heaven in his physical body, but Jesus Christ did. God has exalted his Son to his own right hand, so that all the house of Israel, yea, every one of us, should know that the same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Now, I need to stop right there for a minute, and I want to kind of jump on those two words, Lord and Christ. Because in the Greek, that word is kurios, which means Lord, which is the title that's given to God. And the Messiah, and in the Greek, Christos, means the anointed Son of God. So Peter, when he says he's both Lord and Christ, is saying He is God, and he is the anointed Son of God. And Peter did not want anybody to misunderstand who Jesus truly is. And that's the way we ought to present Jesus for who he truly is. And if I might make a side note, many times we purport Jesus and God as they're kind of our servants, that we come to them and present them in such a manner that people think they can just get things from God, rather than we ought to be living our lives giving back to God for what God has done for us. Amen? Now, when we look in verse 34, and it says, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand," and verse 35, "until I make thy enemies a footstool." Peter cites Psalms 110, verse 1, which is also attributed to David as the writer, as evident that David envisioned his Lord sitting at the right hand of God, an exalted position of victory over his enemies, which we see now in verses 34 through 36. In the book of Acts. Now we move on and we get to this controversial verse. And what I mean by that is, there, like I said earlier, many people believe that baptism brings about salvation. But does the word truly teach that? Now, we got to be careful on how we do this, because as I look through my notes, and we look for that, for the remission of sins, that preposition for, it could mean also in the Greek in order to obtain, but it also means because of obtaining. And here's a wise rule that Pastor John Yates gives: never base a doctrine upon a preposition. So we need to understand what is it about what Peter was saying to get a proper understanding of the context of the verse. What Peter was actually saying when he said, "Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit." Now, we find later on, because Peter himself, who preached these words, does not include baptism as a necessary proponent for salvation in his next sermon that he gives in Acts, the third chapter, verse 19. Neither does Luke himself, who is the one that has written these words, does he include baptism as necessary for salvation. You can find that in Acts 3:19, Acts 5:31, Acts 10:43, Acts 16:31, or Luke 24:47. Because the question in Acts 37 is a broader, "What shall we do?" Those men, when they were pricked to the heart, did not ask what must we do to be saved. They said, "What must we do?" Now we get into this arena of repentance. And many times people think they're repenting when in fact all they're doing is acknowledging sin. Because what does repent really mean? Well, we understand it to mean for the changing of one's mind. But it's more than just the changing of one's mind. We need to not only change our minds, but we need to hate the sin that we have performed in the sight of God. That means that when we go and do something that is wrong in the eyes of God, we must hate it with a passion, cry out to our Lord, know that our hearts are broken, because the Bible says that God loves a broken and a contrite heart. So therefore, when you and I understand that we have just wickedly done things in the sight of God, it ought to break our hearts. Not just acknowledge that we've done wrong, because I believe when we just acknowledge what we have done wrong, then all that is an act of acknowledgement and not an act of repentance. It doesn't bother us enough to want to hate it to a point that we never want to perform it again. And that doesn't mean that at times we won't stumble and maybe perhaps repetitively, but every time it happens, it ought to break our hearts to the point that we cry out for victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit will give us victory over the power of sin and death. He has already won the battle and the war. Amen? Now, neither does Peter talk about, I should say, not Peter, but when we go to the thief on the cross, Jesus himself said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." He did not say that he had to come down off the cross, or "You can't come with me in paradise because you have not been baptized." But he says, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And so when we look at what Peter was doing, Peter was in the midst of his sermon. And in this sermon, when he was reporting all the truth of the Word of God the people's hearts were pricked. They were pricked to the point where they finally got to the conclusion. They said, what must we do? They asked Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? Because the word had penetrated their hearts. They understood that they had been an affront to God, that they had sinned against the holy God, and now they were broken because of the sins that they had performed. So it tells me that as the preachers out there that I'm speaking to right now, we ought to be mindful of the fact that when we present the word of God, we present the truth of the word of God, and the truth of the word of God will penetrate the hearts of the people. Now, what does this mean, pricked in the heart? Metaphorically, it means to have pain in the mind, and in this case, the heart, that sharply and be agitated. Peter is preaching the words and power of the Holy Spirit. It means a pained conscience, if you will. It means that it's troubled your mind. It means that you know that you have to do something. Your life has to change. And perhaps if we would stick to the word of God, we would have more conversions in our church houses rather than just professions of faith, and then watch those people as they do not live victorious lives. Because God has given us all when he has given us his son. He has redeemed us through the blood of his son, and he has given us the guarantee, the Holy Spirit who now indwells us, and because of the presence and the power of the Spirit, you and I ought to be able to overcome and change our ways. We ought to be able to overcome sin. We are more than conquerors. Amen? So they wanted to know, what shall we do next? They were guilty of rejecting their Messiah and great agony over their sin. So they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brothers, what shall we do? The fact is that when Peter quoted the Old Testament passages, there was a distinct purpose in the use for them. He wanted his listeners to understand that in this same Jesus of Nazareth, who performed miracles, who was authenticated by the Father, who was murdered by these very people, the same Jesus, it was now exalted to the right hand of God, waiting to destroy his enemies. So Peter's telling them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And as I said a moment ago, they didn't ask, what must I do to be saved? They asked, what must I do? What shall we do? Well, my brothers and sisters, the time of the clock says I have to wind this program down. Please pray for me as I pray for you. We'll pick this up again next week. Please tune in as we look forward to studying the Word of God together. God bless and see you next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.